Well, good morning, everyone. How are you? Yes, so good to be here. My name is Brian Patchinger. I'm the Avon Lake campus pastor. So quick shout out to Avon Lake. Hello. Nice to see you. Vermilion, love you as well. But it is just an honor to be here. Pastor Jim is teaching a seminar down in the Dominican Republic. It's got to be rough, but he's doing a good job, I'm sure. He's cranking it out and just loving our DR campus. And so you can be praying for him and Andrea. And there's a team there that we prayed for last week. And so they're there in the Dominican Republic. And awesome things are happening. And so I get the privilege to continue our series in John 15. And so as I get a few extra weeks to think about sermons most of the time. You know, Jim, he's week to week. You know, he's cranking it out, working hard. I get the distinct privilege when I'm preaching. Normally, I know about 3 weeks out or so. And so I get to muse on it and think about it all day, all the time. I'm just in the back of my mind. It's just going through. And so that's kind of exciting because as I get to do that, I'm thinking of different things. And for this particular sermon, I started thinking about technology and all of the things that we have today. So I want you to do it all over our campuses. Raise your hand if you have some sort of electronic device with you today or you have one at home. Okay, raise your hand. Oh, really? Wow, that's surprising. All those hands went up. Okay. So obviously you know that being connected to some sort of device is kind of a normal thing for today, right? I mean, people are constantly looking for free Wi-Fi. One of the first questions that any person under 30 asks me when they come over my house is, what's your Wi-Fi password? Because they don't want to use their data, they want to get connected in some other way. And so, I mean, we're addicted to being connected, are we not? I mean, even parents are addicted to being connected to their kids. That's why we give our kids smartphones like at younger and younger ages, because we have this myth that if we can get connected to them, then everything is going to be fine and wonderful. Because raise your hand if you ever played as a kid and your parents had no clue where you were for hours on end. Yeah, right? And we're all here, and I think it's okay, but maybe that's another sermon for parents later. But we get so connected that we are constantly checking, you know, Facebook and Snapchat and going looking for weather updates, sports updates. Maybe you're a news junkie. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know. Sure, some of you are sitting here thinking you're maybe part of the older generation and you're like, I know those whippersnappers, they shouldn't have done that technology stuff. Well, let me just say there are some older generation and younger generation people who are kind of anti-technology, but for the most part, it's not. For the most part, people have embraced it. If you don't believe me, just hang out with some younger people now and again, because what you'll find is that I recently, you know, I go on trips and I've got a bunch of nieces and nephews and we went on this trip. And no joke, I felt like in the car, there were cords going everywhere so that they could be connected to the device. And then when we're at our house that we were staying, the first thing that they're doing, they're plugging in their phones, they're getting everything charged up, because being connected in this day and age is so essential, right? Isn't it? And so what happens is we tend to believe and we tend to live in this world where we believe that if I'm not connected in some way, I'm lost, I'm dead, I'm hurt, I'm missing something, right? I have nothing. And so think about that. Church, I'm going to Jesus juke you here. I don't know if you know what a Jesus juke is, but think about this. You're connected all the time, to some kind of electronic device. Is that not what we are called to be connected to Christ all of the time? fighting over how to get connected. I mean, think about young people. Instead of fighting over a Wi-Fi password or trying to find free Wi-Fi, what if they were fighting over connections to learn and experience Jesus in new ways? I mean, it would totally transform. And so this message rooted right here in John 15, that's where we're going to be today, in John 15, continuing. And so I encourage you, as we're processing through this, keep that picture, that image of connection in your brain as we talk through this today. And so I invite you all over where you are to stand up, and we're going to read John 15. I'm going to pick up, Pastor Jim was preaching through verses 1 through 3, and so I'm going to pick up in verse 4, and I'm going to read 4 through 8, though this sermon's really connected to verses 4 to 7, and Pastor Jim's going to pick up verse 8 next week. It says this: "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You can have a seat. The question that we've really been asking and that this whole series is predicated on is, how does spiritual growth really happen in our lives? I mean, that's what the whole series, organic, how does spiritual growth happen? That's the question that we're pondering in this. I mean, how does spiritual growth happen? How do you grow? How does one person grow a little bit more when another person doesn't? And the question really has an awesome answer. And we talked about it last week with Pastor Jim. He said, you know what? God has a vision for each one of you. And the vision is spiritual growth. God, more than anything, wants you to flourish. He wants you to grow. And you know what? You know what he's going to do? He's going to prune and take care of you and mold you and guide you so that you grow. But the question that I was kind of pondering is, do we just all of a sudden, you know, wake up one day and poof, like we're spiritually mature, and then we can walk around and be like, oh, good, we feel good, like we're ready to go? I mean, is that how it happens? I mean, does it happen by looking at other people and being like, wow, they're really spiritually mature, like I'm gonna look at them and watch them, or what? Like, what's the catalyst towards change? Because, you know, do we just walk around and all of a sudden we call ourselves mature and good to go? Or are we constantly on this process and constantly looking forward to more and more growth over a period of time? And that's really where we're at, right? And so the scriptures that we're going to be diving into today really are asking this question. And the question is, how's your connection? How's your connection? You know, the old commercials with good old, the Verizon Sprint commercials, and they're always saying, you know, like, can you hear me now? You know, he's walking all over nation, can you hear me now? It's because he's looking for a good connection, right? And he's proving, he's like, I got a good connection here, I got a good connection there. And my question for you is, how's your connection? How's your connection to the vine, to Jesus? Because what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be looking at this question of, what does it really mean to remain in Jesus? Because this passage today is all about remaining in Jesus. It's all about connecting in that way. And if we have a good understanding of that, not just like, I'm not looking for you just to know a definition of remaining, but what I really want, what I've been praying for, is that you're able to take this understanding of today, this understanding of remaining, and not just kind of put it in some spiritual bank for later, but to go and live it out in a fresh new way. And so that's my prayer for you. And you know what? I feel led to pray for you right now, and then we'll jump in more. Let's do that. So God, thank you for this church. I pray even now as I'm babbling and talking fast and getting excited, God, I pray that your Spirit would guide us to a deeper and deeper connection with you. Lord, speak into each one of our lives. You're doing something unique. Your plan is specific and perfect in each one of our lives. And so, God, would you guide us? Be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this passage is cool. I think it's cool. I love studying different passages. Now, in this passage, there's a word, this word remain, that the NIV uses. If you're using an ESV, it says abide, but that's the same word. It's actually the word meno in Greek. And so the word meno is used 11 times in just 13 short verses in John 15. So anytime something is repeated over and over in the Bible, it's usually something that you should say, oh, I should pay attention to this because it's being repeated over and over. And so this word used 11 times in 13 verses, it should be something that you should say, okay, this is very important. I need to move forward and I need to really understand what this is all about. And so meno is translated in different ways. And so oftentimes it's translated abide, remain, stay, continue. But you get that sense that it really is this idea of staying connected and remaining, staying joined to the vine. And so, again, think of that in your connection with Jesus, in your connection with him. You must. It's not a suggestion. It's actually an imperative. In verse 4, we must stay connected to Jesus. It's not a good thought. It's not like, hey, maybe if you want to grow in your spiritual life, maybe you should do that. It's an imperative. It's necessary. It's critical. It's something that if you don't do, you know, it's gonna be a problem because it's mandatory. It's not an elective. It's fundamental. So in verse 4, the very first usage of the word meno, which in the NIV that I read, remain, it's an imperative. It's something that you must do. Because when we are connected to the vine in that way, when we're connected to the vine, there's life and there's nutrients connected to us. And so we have to stay connected to Jesus if we want growth to happen and if we want to flourish. He's not just saying that, you know, all of a sudden you just do it. No, you have to stay connected to Jesus. And so listen to this this quote. One person said it like this, one commentator. He said, a branch is not a self-contained entity, and neither is the Christian disciple. And as a branch separated from the supply of nourishment cannot produce fruit, neither can the Christian. Fruit bearing for the disciple is totally dependent on a direct connection to Jesus. Attachment to Jesus or abiding in him is therefore the essential condition of Christian discipleship. You and I, one of the main focuses of our entire lives, one of the main ways that we have any growth, any power. I mean, this whole series is about spiritual growth. You want to grow spiritually, you must stay connected to the vine. Every day you could wake up and reconnect and rekindle and care for the loving relationship that you have with Jesus. Because basically what this is all saying in this is that life itself is offered through the vine. You can't get it anywhere else. You can't go anywhere else to get it. And let me say it maybe a little bit more specifically, not just with our vine analogy, but more specifically to you, life is offered through Jesus. We might search for life in other places. We might go for it. We might try to escape life. I mean, isn't that oftentimes what drinking, technology, you know, name your hang-up. Oftentimes, it's a way of trying to escape reality and escape life. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that real life is offered through Jesus. There's no other, you know, substitute that can be him. He alone. And honestly, if you don't, the remaining and staying connected to him is so important that if you don't, you can't bear fruit. It's not even a possibility for you. Because as we do that, growth moving forward, growth only happens when we are connected to the vine. If you, I mean, think about our analogy of the fruit of the grapes. I mean, if something is not connected to the vine, it's not going to grow, period. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to possibly grow. It's not going to grow. And so let me put it in terms of you again. You will not grow. Growth only happens when you are connected to Jesus. So let me ask you the same question that I've asked multiple times. How's your connection? How's your connection to the life-giving vine that he's called us, commanded us to remain in and stay connected to? Oftentimes, you know, we try to do this Lone Ranger version of Christianity where we're like, oh no, I got this, I can do this. You know, I can pull myself up by my bootstraps and make this happen because we're Americans and we'll just do it. I mean, what is that? Have you ever read anything like that in the scripture? The answer is no. The answer is no, you haven't. Because God is constantly calling us to surrender ourselves so that we can be connected to him and receive the life from him. You cannot produce life in yourself. You just can't. And yet we try, don't we? Don't we try lots of different ways? Growth doesn't just poof, happen. It happens when we're connected to the vine. Maybe you've grown for a little bit, and then maybe you plateaued. And if that is you, the question that I would ask you is, how's your connection to Jesus? Were you really excited about it when, you know, you first came to Christ, or you experienced this uphill growth pattern and you were so excited, and then life got hard and you just stopped? I talk about this all the time to people. I love retreats, okay? It's just something about my own brain that I need to get away once in a while, kind of like refocus my thinking, refocus my thoughts on the Lord. And I've had so many people over the years say, you know, why are retreats so amazing? Like, why do we connect with the Lord in new ways? And I'm like, what? Do I have to really spell this out for you? I mean, you spend at a retreat most of the time, if it's a Christian retreat, you spend most of the day either studying the scripture by yourself, spending alone time in the woods, which is what I love to do, spending alone time in the woods with the scriptures, hearing someone teach the scriptures, singing scriptures with one another, or talking with one another about the scriptures and about God, fellowshipping. I mean, like, imagine if life was just one big retreat where all we ever did was connect with other people about Jesus and do ministry with Jesus. Hold on a second. Isn't that really what we're called to live our lives like? I mean, all else is just details. All else is just the things that we do so that we can connect with others and connect with him. And so we have to be constantly talking about this and constantly doing it, because fruit bearing in the Christian life, fruit bearing necessitates a connection to Jesus. It necessitates a connection to the vine. And so let me just say, is if you are not experiencing that, one of the questions that you need to ask yourself is, am I connected? Am I connected to him? Am I experiencing the life that I have and need from him, and he's encouraging me and I'm flourishing through that? Because if you're not, then the question that you need to be asking is, how do I get back connected to the vine? How do I get connected to him in a life-giving way? So a question that people have asked me before, which we're gonna talk about here right now, it says, how long, because like this passage, you know, really gives us some warning here. And people have asked me, you know, how long can I go unconnected before something is going to happen to me? You know, a lot of people just think, I just want to experience a little bit of life, you know, before. You hear this in young people all the time. They say, you know, I think following Jesus is for me, but I kind of want to do my own thing for a little bit, if that's okay with you, God. I kind of want to make my own decisions, and a life with you seems a little bit taxing, a little bit difficult. I'm called to give up what I care for, you know, all the things that I want, to take up upon the things that you want, and it just seems absolutely ridiculous. And can I just suggest to you that if you've ever asked this question before, or even some version of it, that it's absolutely the wrong question to ask? It's absolutely, it's a real question, but it's the wrong question. Because if you're sitting there and just wondering, you know, I'm not really fruit bearing so much, I'm not really growing, I'm not really staying connected, and maybe you're okay with that, I would say that's the wrong question. That's the wrong thought process to have. Because the Bible, and this specific passage, the Bible all over has great promise and great warning. I mean, think about some of the promises that are even in this little passage. He just says, if we remain in him, he, Jesus, the God of creation, is gonna remain in us. And it's gonna be this amazing life-giving relationship. He says that, you know, if we remain in him, we'll bear much fruit. I mean, there's all these promises in the scripture, but there's also great warning. Because, as I said, we're called to stay connected to the vine. And if we don't, we can't bear fruit. And if we don't, we will face judgment. That's what verse 6 is really all about. Because if we're not remaining, we're perishing. Let that sink in just for a second. If you're not remaining, if you're not staying connected, then you're perishing. You're like this. I had a buddy who had a laptop computer. Probably a lot of you have a laptop computer. The battery was so bad in the laptop computer, it wouldn't even turn on unless it was plugged in. Can I just suggest to us that we're a little bit like a laptop computer? We're empty, we're broken, we're hurt, and unless we are connected to the vine, there's no even worth trying to turn it on, because if we're not connected, there's no power, and if there's no power, then what are we doing? May I suggest another? I don't want to sound crass, but as I was praying through another analogy, might I suggest that we're a little bit like dead people who need life support? That if we're not connected to the vine, we're gonna die. We're gonna die. Life support gives you everything that you need, right? Breathes for you, feeds you, gives you, it keeps you alive. That's what the vine is. That's what it means when you're connected to Jesus. You're connected to Jesus. You are dead. You're walking dead, but connected to Jesus in a life-giving way. And guess what? We get to live. Because if we don't, verse 6 says, if we don't, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away, withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. what you think is life is not actually life unless you're connected to the vine. How's your connection? How's your connection? Pastor Jim, just last week, talked a little bit about these different types of branches, right? He talked about four different types of branches. And he talked about there's one that's bearing little or no fruit. And last week, he talked a little bit about how it needs lifted up. Or you're in one of these other categories, bearing some fruit, more fruit, or much fruit. And if you're in one of those categories, you need pruned, and you need to be cleaned in order to bear even more fruit. And yet, can I tell you that in verse 6, it actually talks about another type of branch. And that branch is the one that's not at all in the vine. It's not at all in the vine. It's going to be judged on the last day. Why? Because it's not connected to Jesus. It's going to be judged and thrown away. And so the question that we need to ponder is, if we're not bearing fruit, is it possible because we don't have a connection to Jesus? We're not connected to him. I hope there are people here that have come because Open Door is a safe place to come. I hope there's people here today that have come and don't know what I'm talking about, that don't maybe have that life-giving connection to the vine. Because let me just tell you that if that's you, if you're coming because you've experienced some relationships, if you're coming because you've experienced some care, if you're coming because you're like, you know what, this is a safe place and there's coffee and all those things, great. But let me just tell you that we are unequivocally excited and pointing you to Jesus. If you are not connected to the vine, then there is judgment coming. If you are connected to the vine, guess what? He's going to prune you. He's going to care for you. He's going to connect with you. Because the only hope we have is to be connected to Jesus. Life is only found in him. There's no other place you can go. So take a moment and allow the Spirit of God to call you forward, to call you into relationship with him. He's yearning for you to be connected to the vine. There's plenty of room. There's all kinds of room for you to be ready and to come right to him. And yet all of us, we have all kinds of hindrances, don't we? We have all kinds of things, and we ask all the time, you know, I think, why isn't it just easy to stay connected to Jesus? Like, shouldn't it just be a simple thing? Well, it is kind of simple, but it also takes effort on our part to surrender our lives to the Lord. And so I was thinking in my own life, and these are really, realistically, these are from my own life, but I think sometimes we're just tired from the day, and we forget how important a relationship with the Lord is. You and I are too busy. There's way too much going on in our lives. You need to cut some things out of your life so that you can be more focused on your connection to the vine. I think some of us just don't understand the life that is offered. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased." Is that not the truth? We get so excited about other things, about the newest game that's coming out or the newest movie. We get excited about everything except our day-to-day grinding, loving, caring relationship with the Lord. And I think part of it's because we don't understand the stakes. We don't understand how important this relationship really is. And we're so overwhelmed with the things going on that instead of allowing the relationship with the Lord, our relationship with the Lord, to move us into greater and greater trust and greater faith, you know, allowing him to take over in these circumstances, instead, I think we just worry about him. And we talk about them, and they don't go anywhere, as opposed to looking at this connection to the vine and moving forward. And honestly, the last one, I mean, I think so many of us, myself included, have a tendency to just go through the motions when it's time to be connected to the vine. You ever just sat down and read your Bible because you kind of wanted to have a connection with Jesus, but really what you want to do is just kind of read your Bible for 5 minutes to say that you did, or even to convince yourself that you're now connected to Jesus, but you actually never really had a connection with him. You never really went to the throne room of God. I was talking to some leaders a while ago, and I was like, look, if you're in your car and you're not ready to come in the door to connect and to like be ready to go, and then sit in your car and wait until you are. Sit in your car and pray and connect with the Lord in such a way, then you can come in and love people and care for people. Because if you're not, you're just going to go through the motions. I mean, we might be going through the motions right now. You might be. You might be sitting there and saying, you know, this has been really tough week, tough month, tough year. Now, some of you, I praise you for continuing to grind it out. But I ask you and plead with you to connect yourself to the vine. Because this definition, we've been kind of bouncing around and going all over. We've been bouncing around it because remaining, here's a good definition of this idea. Remaining is the idea of staying connected in a life-giving way. So if you're not receiving life, if you somehow feel like you're connected to the vine, but life isn't flowing through you, and you're getting nutrients from the Lord, and he's filling you with grace and mercy, then let me just say, it's possible that if you're not staying connected in a life-giving way, that maybe you're not staying connected in the way that you do. Because growth doesn't just happen, does it? But it does happen when you're connected to the vine. Because when you're connected, he's going to be flowing nutrients and life and grace to you. He's going to be, you know, fostering and caring and molding and making you into his image. And so what happens is as we're doing that, if we do stay connected, we absolutely will bear fruit. That's what the passage says. That's the promise that's there in verse 5. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so that's really the joy. The joy is as we stay connected and as we're listening and following him and as we're tuning our sails to him and he's pushing us and guiding us, then he's going to guide us into ways to bear fruit. It's actually quite exciting. I love the analogy of the sailboat because a sailboat is specifically designed to move at even the slightest of breezes, right? Well, let me just say, that's how we are to be to the Spirit of God. Just at the slightest of breezes, he can move us and guide us if we set our sails to him and stay connected to him. Church, that's what we're called to do. Because branches that stay connected to the vine, they're going to bear fruit. The vine dresser is going to take care of them. He's going to get them to bear fruit. And so let me put it in specific terms for you. Disciples that stay connected to Jesus will bear fruit. It's the promise from God. You're going to. You know, last week we lost an amazing man of God, Billy Graham. And I've been just processing through that of a man who constantly would go to the throne room of God and be refreshed by him. And you know, we're not supposed to emulate Billy Graham, but we can look at him and say, wow, like I'm thankful for what God is doing. And Pastor Jim wanted me to encourage you Tonight on Fox, Sunday night at 7 p.m., they're airing this Billy Graham special called An Extraordinary Journey. And it's tonight at 7 on Fox. And really, I mean, think about, we've been talking about, you know, looking at fruit and disciples that are connected, so connected to the vine that they just bear fruit. And I think this will be a great encouragement to you to be processing through a man of God who is so connected to the vine. And so that's tonight at 7. I'm sure that they'll be airing it at some point, but there you go. It's an amazing thing when we can stay connected. So if we stay connected, we will bear fruit. And verse 7 says, if we stay connected, his words will transform you. Look at verse 7. It says that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This passage is really in the context of prayer, is it not? I mean, he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. But look at this phrasing. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, meaning if you are connecting to the life-giving Jesus and the life-giving Jesus is filling you and guiding you to become more and more like him, then guess what? Our prayers and our lives are going to be more connected to the Lord, and we're going to ask and he's going to give. I mean, there's going to be blessing. There's going to be direction because we are growing to be more like Christ. That's really what this is all about. You are to grow to be more like Christ. So the connection that you have with the vine really necessitates this communication, because the more you connect with him, the more you love him and you're in a relationship with him, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be talking to him more. The more you remain, the more he's going to allow you to bear fruit and to connect with him in greater and greater ways. So let me just say it like this. If you remain in Jesus, his words will transform you more and more into becoming like Christ. It's all about spiritual growth, right? Well, spiritual growth happens. Not all of a sudden, not one day, not poof, we wake up. Spiritual growth happens as we stay connected to the life-giving vine. That's what we're called to do, church. We're called to stay connected. But let's not go through the motions. I've been reading a lot in this Puritan prayer book, and it's called The Valley of Vision. And this came up, and it really connected with me, because it's possible. Let me just read it. It says, and let me not lay my pipe too short of the fountain, never touching the eternal spring, never drawing water down from above. You know, it's possible for you to go through the motions so much that you never really are connected to the vine in a life-giving way. It's possible for us to be so distracted, so connected to other things, that we don't receive that which we need from the Lord. And church, he's offering it. He's offering it in new and amazing ways. He's offering it every day. And guess what we do? We surrender. We surrender because he's enough for us. And he's got everything we need, so we stay connected to the life-giving vine. We're going to be celebrating communion here in a moment. And isn't communion a beautiful picture of reminding ourselves who the Lord is, who we are? Taking a moment, confessing our sins, taking a moment, and then guess what? Being connected to the vine in a fresh way. It's not some kind of mystical union. You know, there's not some kind of mystical thing about communion. But what there is there's a recentering, a refocusing. That's what we get to do. We get to refocus on the Lord right now. Let me pray. God, thank you for this new day. God, this new day where we are able to be connected to you. Lord, there's many directions, there's many places we can go in this world. There's many things that we can be connected to. And yet, God, we know that there's no connection like a connection with you, Jesus. There's no connection. All other connections lead to death. God, all other places, all other things guide us further and further away from you. And yet you're calling us, you're commanding us to remain in you, to stay connected in you. And so God, I pray even now as people are processing, as people are thinking, Holy Spirit, would you work and move in our lives? God, would we understand who you are in greater and greater ways and understand the connection that you offer in the vine? And God, if there are people here who are not connected, God, that they would surrender to you, that they would say yes to you because you offer life. God, you're enough. We love you. We praise you for this time. It's in your precious name that we pray these things. Amen. Amen.